In this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss Bayonetta, murderous pizza, secret identities, rapping, and outcast with Jackson Ford, aka Rob Bufford, author of The Girl Who Could Move Shit With Her Mind.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series, and all things that's full of spoilers. I'm Claire.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to share a conversation we had with Jackson Ford. Is it Jackson Ford? No. It's Rob Bufford. Yes, that's right. We know his secret identity.
We know.
So here it is, or whatever, or yeah.
Yep.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we plan to talk about your book. God, we put it on our schedule back in like October. And since then we've been like, who the hell is this guy? Who is this guy? Who is this? And then literally 3 days before recording, it's like, oh, hey, guess what? Here's my secret identity.
We totally planned it that way. We synced it with your recording. Yeah, it's a natural
coincidence. That's appreciated.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
It's actually also slightly vexing that the identity has been revealed, because I was quite enjoying the investigative reporting to it.
I'm curious, how far did you get in that investigative reporting? Where were your sources pointing you to?
Well, it was more my own theories, and one of them was actually you're female.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
British.
I kind of thought that too.
Definitely not American. And I did read one article that said that you had never been to Los Angeles, but you knew people who were in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And then I was like, you know what? I don't know. Then I think I just gave up and read the book.
Well, you were right on there. Well, I mean, I'm not British, but I'm not American. Obviously, I'm South African. But I have actually been to Los Angeles many, many times. I'm very familiar with the city.
Well, that's it. It seems odd to write about a place where you aren't familiar with it at all. Or at least, you know, surface familiarity. You've been to that place one or two times and you may know somebody who lives there. But just to write something set somewhere completely out of the blue, it didn't feel right. And tonally, it didn't feel right. Like, you didn't know the place. It had intimacy in the writing. So, yeah, I gave up.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, in the author bio, obviously, you know, you got to have an author bio at the back of the book, and that's all. But well, I'm just going to make some stuff up. In fact, I'm going to have my main character, I'm going to have Tegan, literally write the author bio, and it was a complete piss take. I just had her take the piss out of Jackson Ford, and one of the things she said was he's never been to Los Angeles. People took this seriously. Like, I saw comments and I saw reviews where they were going like, the author says he has never been to Los Angeles, and I don't know how he can dare write a book about this. I'm like, guys, come on, please.
Didn't you read the entire rest of the fucking book? Don't you understand how full of sarcasm it is? Like, what's wrong with you? That's it.
I did have somebody help me out, because obviously I don't live in Los Angeles, so I've got a friend down there called Alicia Grasso, who's a journalist, and she's basically my fact checker. So I do all the research, but then I send her the finished manuscript, and she goes, no, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is very wrong, and no, we'd never say it like that, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's happened before, where we've read a book quite recently where the author is British, it's originally set in Britain, but for some reason in America, it's been changed to Connecticut, and it's all been changed to American. And when I was reading it, it didn't stand out to me because I'm British. Yeah. But then Amanda sent me a message.
I was dying.
Because obviously she's American, going, why is she in her duvet? And I'm like, because that's what you do. And she's like, no. So it didn't stand out to me, but it was screaming at Amanda. And I think as well, the level of sarcasm was not American.
What do they call it in the States? Is it a comforter?
You could say comforter, sure. Comforter, blanket. Just not duvet. We have those, but it's not. Duvet is very fancy.
Okay, good to know.
Duvet is fancy.
Fancy.
I'm so fancy with my 15 tog duvet.
What is happening right now? Jesus.
Nobody knows.
What, you thought this was going to be a normal interview? No.
To be fair, we did speak to Libba Greer last week, and she started singing songs from Little Shop of Horrors to us. So that was interesting.
Yeah. And also
challenge accepted. Let's go.
Yeah, go for it. She also talked about going to see aliens while on acid. So go ahead and you know, top that one too.
Yeah, this is a safe space.
I don't know if I can top that one. That's actually pretty dope. Aliens, going to see aliens on acid. Good lord. I'm not sure I can see aliens sober at the best of times. That movie freaks me out still.
Well, there's a life lesson for you. Before we'll jump ahead and we'll say there's a life lesson. Do not go and see aliens on acid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just want to ask you something, like, from my own personal knowledge. What's your favorite Outkast song?
Oh, damn. Okay, you're going to count a worm too. Wow. I don't know if an hour is going to be enough for this. Okay, so my personal favorite, like the one that I keep coming back to, is Bombs Over Baghdad.
Well, me too, too.
Are you Bombs Over Baghdad? Yes, that is the shit. That's the song that got me into Outkast. That joint.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Claire's just shaking her head like, I don't know what these people are talking about.
No, I'm more of a punk rock girl. Like, you know, my current person of choice at the moment is Frank Turner, so I'm kind of like total different. But it's not totally different, but it's certainly, you know, a variation of.
Well, if you ever want to get into hip hop, start with Bombs Over Baghdad. It's a fucking crazy
really
song.
I'll put it on the list. I will challenge you to learn all the lyrics, and then we'll have a battle, because those have been ingrained in my head since like the song came out.
Uno, dos, tres, son. Did you ever think of pimp rock a microphone like that? They boy with Silver Street. Outcast running up and down the street, stand back, head left, five, five, that's it. Yeah, I used to know the whole damn thing. No G to the dude, the A for you. Got a son on the way by the Nim Bamboo. Got a little bit of a girl for your Jordan. Never turn my back on my kids for them. But I hit it, quit it, rag top. Before you re-up to the laptop.
Make a bit of sweet set, boy, set some goals. Make it a diamond and dust cool. Reckon it before, but you're on a roll. Hold up, slow up, stop, control.
I am on the right podcast.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm impressed.
You're now my new favorite person, so.
Ditto.
Oh my gosh. I am the whitest person, so that was really great that we could have that connection. Anyway, yes, now let's be normal again, me.
Yeah.
So let's get into Would You Rather. Let's do it. It's time. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So on social media, we asked, would you rather use your mind powers to survive an 80-story fall or escape a wildfire? Facebook, they said 53% would rather survive a fall, and 47% said they'd rather survive a fire. On Instagram, it was 40% fall and 80% fire. And on Twitter, 75% fall and 25% fire. I think I said that right.
I think that
so,
you did.
Yeah, I picked three quotes out, and they're all from people who begin with the letter C, because I quite like the consistency of it. Yeah, I'm sad. Candy on Facebook said, I'd say escape a fire, surviving a fall. Sounds like it may still be painful, like near death, but you survive. Whilst escaping a fire sounds like you emerge unscathed.
Hmm.
Constance on Facebook said, I would want to survive a fall. It would be like flying close, not icky, smushed from the fire. And Candice on Facebook said, I have to agree with Candy. Now, if I could survive a fall with an awesome superhero landing, that would be sweet.
Yes, we do favor superhero landings.
They're really bad for your knees, though.
So what do we think? I want to survive the fall, because I feel like a fall is less terrible for everyone else involved. It's like the wildfire is probably doing damage elsewhere. So I'm going to take the fall, even though I am so terrified of heights. That's what I'm doing.
I have a question about the question, actually.
Yeah.
I use my powers to survive one, but does this mean I automatically die in the other?
No, you'll survive either way.
Mind powers.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, I'll take the fall, because surviving the fall is fun. You know, you get to fly, I assume.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's your mind powers, however they work. You see, I agree with the fall, but when I imagined the fall, it was very Die Hard Nakatomi Tower. You know, and then, but with a bit more style and flair. hence the picture that was used in the Would You Rather Instagram post. It had to be Nakatomi Plaza, because Die Hard is one of the greatest movies ever made.
I'm glad we're all surviving the fall. I would be terrified.
That sounds terrifying. I mean, as much as it would be cool to emerge from these huge plumes of fire like some kind of demonic entity and be like, hey, bitches, word up. It would be like still very much more scary. I think, yeah, no, I don't like that. I don't even like getting burnt cooking. The hot glue gun is still a tragic memory. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
The fall is clearly the way to go. Especially if you get to wear a big fucking belt buckle. Would you rather?
My utility belt.
Oh, yes. Would you rather eat a taco for the first time or eat at a swanky restaurant?
Taco. No question.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. What's the taco choice?
You want that. Oh, my God. Fish tacos. I'm a fish taco guy. What about you guys?
I am not a fish taco. I'm like a Tex-Mex taco person, but I mean, I'm from Arkansas, so I'm very close to, you know, I don't like a street taco. I need like a corn tortilla, like crispy beef, lettuce, onions, all that sort of stuff. Give me a classic Tex-Mex.
No. It's got to be a pulled pork with loads of lime, loads of jalapenos, and it's got to be a soft wrap, not hard shell. No.
And I'm kind of with you on the no hard shell. You don't want it to like crumble and explode. You want to actually bite into it and have it hold its shape.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I used to get the best tacos from a Mexican restaurant in Leeds, where every time we'd go, they would do the tequila taster test as well. So you just say, I want the tequila tasters with each course, and they would bring out the appropriate tequila. You just necking that. They got such a good tip from us every night that we went there, because we drank a lot of tequila and it was just absolutely spot on. Oh, I wish that was still there.
I wish we could still go and get tacos.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I would love a taco from outside of my own house.
I'm sick of doing the washing up.
We do have good tacos in my house, though, so it's okay. My husband can make a mean taco. Not an actual mean taco. It's not like an angry taco, but it's pretty good.
Doesn't need to have therapy.
No. Taco does not require therapy.
I feel like part of the joy of tacos isn't just like the taco itself. It's the environment you have the taco in. Like, you want to have a taco in like a big, noisy environment, like out in a street party somewhere, or in a massive like food court, or like somewhere where there's just a lot of energy to it. It just makes the taco taste so much better. I'm not knocking your husband's tacos. I'm sure they're fantastic, but for me, it's like, it's part of the experience. It's got to be somewhere loud.
That's true.
Yeah,
it does add to it. Maybe I should get like a mariachi hat and learn to play the guitar, and then my home tacos would be much more enjoyable. That's my new
to do that.
Hear what would happen. Yeah.
That's my new quarantine goal. Become a mariachi band member.
I need to see this. You may have your cosplay for this week sorted now. You have to do that. Oh, I wish I still had those naff hats and the mariachi stuff. Oh, why did I get rid of all this stuff? Anywho, next question. Would you rather work for a shady government agency or be part of a violent gang?
That's a tough one.
This is a safe space. Do what you want.
Because I feel like both have their advantages. Of course, I'd probably go government, not because I like the government especially, but because at least, you know, you've got some official protection. Like, if you, I don't know, blow up a house somewhere, you can probably just flash a badge and go, no, I'm good. Whereas if you blow up a house somewhere and you're part of a violent gang, well, suddenly you've got the government looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the government isn't that they come down particularly hard, it's that they never, ever, ever stop looking for you. So on balance, I'll take government, but, you know, the violent gang's got its appeal too. What about you guys?
I'm going to go government. For like the ability to commandeer vehicles and, you know, like,
yeah, I'm thought of that.
Just make everyone do what I want them to do. And I don't know about a violent gang. I feel like they would probably be more apt to turn on me than the shady government agency would be. You know, I feel like if I made a terrible enough mistake, I would probably like be at the bottom of a river somewhere if I was part of a violent gang. So I'm going to go with the shady government.
Yeah, I have to agree. If I was part of a violent gang, I would be like the nerdiest violent gang ever. It would probably be more like World of Warcraft violent gang than, you know, actual street thug, you know, ground level kind of violent gang. It's going to be pretend. There's going to be some serious LARPing going on, because let's face it, I ain't cut out for that.
I don't think any of us are. Like, none of us, I get the feeling, are particularly violent. We just suck at being in a violent gang.
Yeah.
I'd be like the coffee runner. It's like, okay, who wants a latte? Who wants a flat white? You know, I would learn to do latte art just to be, you know, accepted into this violent gang.
I'm
making some serious stuff up in my head.
I'm glad the violent gang is like really into their lattes.
Because you're part of a violent gang and willing to go to war over turf does not mean you cannot enjoy a nice espresso.
That's true. That is very
true. But you think the mafia runs on coffee? They run on good Italian coffee. You take the coffee away, that's how you destroy the mafia.
And I'm willing to learn how to make biscotti. You know, I can bake. I'll be behind the scenes in this violent gang. I'm not going to be front and centre, you know, gangbanger with the...
You're like the den mother of the violent gang.
I would be the den mother. You know, when the one hooked.
Why not?
So come to me. Come here, sweet. Aw. You've just got... It's a tough job.
Very traumatising. They need somebody to talk to.
Exactly. So, have I just taught myself into being part of the violent gang and not the shady gang?
Yes, you have. Yep. Yes, you have.
Right, okay. I'm the violent gang again. I'll put it on the stage.
Excellent. Okay, next question. Would you rather find out that your best friend was framing you for murder, or find out that your evil superpowered brother and sister were still alive and angrily looking for you?
The second one, superpowered brother and sister, for sure.
Why?
Yeah, why? My
best friend to betray me? That sucks.
That sucks.
You bought it!
That's right, it's your fault!
Well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, no spoilers or anything, but, you know, both happened to Tegan, so it's not as if she gets a choice in the matter, but if I had to choose, no, it's definitely the second one. For sure.
This podcast is full of spoilers. We start off with the biggest spoiler warning ever.
That's true, you do start off with, okay, yeah, big spoiler. In that case, yeah, both of them happened to Tegan, so I'll take the second one if I get a choice.
Okay. I'm really curious as to how that's all going to play out. I need to read the second one, clearly.
And the third one, which I've just finished.
What? Okay, you can go ahead and send it over. We'll read it for you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's good. That'll be out in 2021, assuming the publishing industry doesn't implode.
Hopefully it doesn't.
I think the publishing industry seems to be one of the few that are kicking around the amount of people who are cracking through the TBR lists at the moment.
That's true. Yeah, no. What about you? Third's coming next year. Fourth is coming in 2022. Even I don't know what's going to happen in that one. So, yeah, you get to find out. All your questions will be answered eventually.
Good. Does the fourth one have a title yet?
No, the fourth one does not have a title. Third one does. It's called Eye of the Shitstorm.
Nice.
I think I read that on your Instagram, not that I was Instagram stalking you or anything. That did not happen. yeah. You had a different title that you wanted to do, right?
I wanted to call it Giant Shitstorm of Doom, but the publisher was like, look, it's a little bit on the nose at the moment. So can we just dial that back? Also, a book with Doom in the title probably won't sell very well. So
I would totally buy you a book with the word doom in it.
Yeah, I would. Especially if it was a giant shitstorm of doom. Yeah, for sure.
Especially if I can go doom! You know, I love a dramatic
And one of the best video games in the world is called Doom. But you know
what? That's true.
But
it is.
One thing I've learned, like what I've just finished writing is my seventh book with Orbit. And if there's one thing I've learned working with these guys is that they are much better at titles than I am. So if they say we're going with this title, I nod and smile and go, yep, yes, we are.
Yes.
Excellent.
If there's one guarantee, though, it's going to have the word shit in the title.
Yes.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah, I love it. That's the whole reason why I wanted to even read it when Claire suggested it, you know, months and months ago. Like, oh, yeah, The Girl Who Can Move Shit With Her Mind. Yeah, totally on board. Reading it right now.
I take no credit for that. That title is entirely from my editor, Anna, and the guy who used to be publisher of Orbit, Tim Holman. They came up with that. And the second they pitched it to me, I was like, yes. I've never said yes so fast. I was like, this is it. This is what it's supposed to be.
Excellent.
Speaks to my soul. Yeah. Excellent, excellent, excellent. What about you, Amanda? Do you want your best friend?
Oh yeah,
we should finish these questions.
Or do you want your brother and sister to come and get you? Angry.
Can I murder and or leave my backstabbing best friend to die?
It's your story.
Yeah, actually.
Because that fucker, he made my shit list. So yeah, he's Chewy Carlos is done. If he was my best friend, So I guess I would go with that one. I don't want my evil superpowered brother and sister to come and try to angrily kill me. So I'll be framed for murder. It's fine.
You raise a good point, because to be fair, I'm lazy and, you know, fighting my brother and sister. I mean, if it was like, imagine the Christmas dinners, it would be terrible. If you can murder your best friend, that would be pretty awesome. And you can use your mind powers. You can be like, you know what, let's test them out a little bit. How creative can I be with my mind? Yeah. The answer will be very.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, how can I kill you with this pencil?
I can't agree with this. Evil brother and sister, bring it. I'll take them on any day.
Oh, no, you see, I'm imagining like taking something like a pencil and like yondoing the best friend, like Guardians of the Galaxy, whistling and making the pencil go through their body until they're a pincushion.
That's awful. Would you have to have, would you have to like attach a fancier mohawk to control it that much?
I would probably not necessarily attach an electronic mohawk, but I might style
the hair. Oh yeah, because he's got a mohawk, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might style the hair. Until about 5 minutes before this Zoom started, my hair was up there. So, yeah, it would happen.
My brain had to kind of rework itself there. When we started talking about mohawks, I was like, but neither of them have mohawks. what am I missing here? Okay, no, I get it now.
Jump to the MCU when you're with us.
Yeah.
I will even paint myself blue for the full aesthetic.
Wonderful. Because you guys do cosplay, so you're on new cosplay. Bring it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to talk cosplay, too, after this. I need some inspiration for a character for this one, so I need your help. What's our very last would you rather question?
Oh, would you rather tell the person you're attracted to that you love them and they don't reciprocate, or be in a secret relationship with your boss? It's got to be secret relationship with the boss, really.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, actually. Yeah.
But you can enjoy it if you're Tegan. But you can.
You can. That's part of the attraction.
I'm trying to imagine Tegan in a hot relationship with Moira Tanna, and I'm just not seeing this one. I'm just not seeing that happening. Somehow, I'm like picturing them curled up on the couch, trying to have a chat about what takeout to order. There would be blood.
No, I want Hawaiian. Pineapple doesn't belong on a pizza. Yes, it does.
Exactly. Maritana is not interested in food. She doesn't care. So the second that she goes, I don't know, I'll just put the pineapple on, Tegan's throwing something at her. She's yondoing her.
Yeah. Something is flying through the air at that point.
Quite probably the pizza.
Yep.
Could you decapitate somebody with a pizza using the power of your mind? Because in theory, your mind powers are keeping it perfectly level and, you know.
Nah.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't matter how level you kept it. Like the neck is stronger than the pizza, unless you like burnt it to a crisp. But no, I don't see this.
No, and Claire doesn't like burning food. We've already had this discussion, so
Claire, I think you're gonna have to come up with another method to murder somebody other than pizza to the throat.
Could you use the pizza cutter?
Pizza. You could. My pizza cutter looks like a bat lift from Star Trek as well. It's not one of those Rony ones. It's a proper hammer at it. And you could, if you sharpen the blade. You could get the pizza with your mind powers and shove it down your throat.
Could.
I'm under a lot of stress lately, and I think it's coming out.
I did notice, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just say I'm glad we're not doing this conversation in person. I'm glad it's over Zoom, because if we were, I'd have to be very careful about what I said.
I'm a hugger, not a fighter.
You literally just got into detail about how you could murder someone with the pizza or the implements used to cut the pizza.
I'm making you latte art in the violin gang. I'm the pussy in the violin gang. It's fine.
All right, Den Mother. You clearly picked up the trick.
Is that the end of Would You Rather?
Yeah,
you killed it with a pizza cutter.
Yes, you can't really top that, so it has to be the end. Pizza murder is the end of Would You Rather. Premeditated pizza murder. So now we have all of our other questions that we want to ask you.
Cool.
So what was it like not having anyone know who you were, and why did you reveal it?
The whole process of having a pseudonym was really strange at first. I resisted it a lot. I think because I'd had novels published under my Rob Buffard name, and I even though they didn't sell as well as expected, which is frustrating, I knew that I really was proud of them, and I was proud of the fact that my name was on them. I think any author is. And so when I gave my publisher the Tegan book, they said, look, this is a completely different genre. It's a good chance for a fresh start, because booksellers will get more excited about the first Jackson Ford book than the fifth Rob Bothard book. Please consider this. And I thought about it, and eventually I went, you know what, you have to look at this from a business side as well. Let's give this a fresh start. And actually living with the pseudonym, because they said, look, just keep quiet about it. We'll do an official reveal at some point. It was weird, because I'm so used to promoting my books and talking about them on social media. And unfortunately, I don't think I'm very good at that a lot of the time. I'm not really good at social media. So in a way, it was a bit of a blessing not being able to talk about these books, because the social media discussion happened away from me, and I didn't get a chance to kind of knock it off track like I'd done in the past. So, but having to sit there and not be able to kind of say thank you to someone who made a nice compliment about my book, or if someone's made a factual error in a review, I don't make a habit of, kind of engaging with reviews unless there's like a definite factual error. Not being able to correct them, that was a little bit frustrating. But over time, I kind of got into it. It was like I had this really cool secret that nobody knew, and I could kind of watch people do a little bit of speculation about who this person might be. And it was kind of fun. It was like a superhero secret identity. And the second part of the question was, you asked, why did I reveal it? So we kind of looked at it and we went, this is me and my publisher and my editor and my agent. We said, are we going to keep this a secret indefinitely? Or are we going to reveal it? And we came to the conclusion, look, we actually want to reveal this. The book's doing extremely well. There's a lot of interest. It's gone into multiple reprintings. Let's spring this out on people and give it an extra publicity boost. And so we just kind of went, it's time. It's time to actually reveal it. And we timed it quite nicely. The second book's coming in a couple of months. And they were like, it's time for you to go out into the world and talk about this book. So I'm a little bit sad that I've left my secret identity behind. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to be able to talk to people like you guys about the book and just to be able to have these conversations.
I'm so glad that everything happened right when it did. You know, we put this book on the schedule and then you pop up on Instagram and we're like, holy fuck, what are we going to do? Holy crap, we got to get him. So it was awesome that it all just magically worked out. So thanks.
I've got this image of you like standing in a bookshop right next to your pile of books. And somebody picks it up and they're like, it's excellent. It's really good. You should really pick it up. And just like some verse of advertising and like, oh, that's a really good one. You don't want to read that one. You want this one. Yeah.
This one.
buy six copies.
I don't know who the author is. I hear he's a bit of a dickhead, but you want this one.
It's got big adult languages, curse words,
yep.
Tackles. Yeah, you want this one. Mm-hmm. But that you can't do the Neil Gaiman secret signatures. Have you heard Neil Gaiman? He'll go into when he's waiting in airport or just like mulling around in shopping centres. He'll go into a bookshop, find his books, and he'll sign his books and then just leave them on the shelf. And then he'll tweet, "I've just been to Terminal 5, Waterstones, and I've signed a bunch of books," so people can go in and find his signed books.
I don't get it. Does he think they won't let him? Like, up to employees and say, "Can I do this?" And they'll go, "Yeah, of course. Hi, yes. Would you like coffee?" Yeah. I mean, I've done this loads of times.
I think it's a cheap thrill.
But then imagine, like, you're the airport employee, and you look across, and there's some dickhead scribbling in books. Like, I'd lose my shit.
Yeah.
Do you have to out your passport, get out your ID? Like, no, that's me. That's my name. I can.
But it doesn't say Jackson Ford.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're fucked.
That. Yeah, I'm sure. This is just a non-starter. Normally I'm a forgiveness over permission guy, but I think in this case I'd rather just go up and say, "Hi, I'm this guy. Can I sign the book?"
You need a T-shirt. Hi, yeah, I'm Jackson Ford.
Really?
Sure you are, buddy. Sure you are.
I feel like we need to have I'm Jackson Ford t-shirts in our shop now.
Yep, it's happening. And I'm going to buy one and wear it all the time.
I'll just distribute them at cons. Yeah, everybody can wear them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. When we can go to cons again, I expect to see you
can go to cons again.
With shirts. Yeah.
Do you guys go to many cons?
I haven't been, not since having a child, so 6 years since I've been to a con.
I do, and I'm very sad about Emerald City not being able to go because I live in Seattle and it's like right here. I went to PAX.
I've always wanted to go to PAX. Always wanted to go to PAX.
Yeah, PAX is fantastic.
Yeah. I really want to go to the tabletop one because I'm a huge tabletop gamer as well.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few big ones, especially in Germany. I'm desperate to go, and we were planning on going, but doesn't exist. There's a lot of local cons as well, like comic cons and geek cons and stuff where I live, and it's just not possible to get to them anymore.
I just have to tell you that whenever we do meet in real life and you come with me and we go to cons, I am making you wear a costume.
I know, and I told you I will wear a costume. I am pro costume. I am pro cosplay.
Good.
Yeah, you're going with Yondu. I thought we'd sorted this out.
Well, that's definitely one of them.
Is that who you're going to be?
It seems to be. I think I've signed a virtual contract to that now.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
You know what? I've never cosplayed, but there is one I've always wanted to do, and it's one of those things it would be a massive project. I always wanted to do Bayonetta.
Me too. Are you fucking kidding me?
You see, you've got the hair for it. I obviously do not.
You can wear a wig. I will lend you.
I couldn't even imagine how I would do it, because you'd have to get the high heel shoes, you'd have to get four guns.
Yes, shoes. I've seen good shoes.
A latex bodysuit. I don't really know.
It's doable.
Yeah.
I actually I bought weird glasses with lots of wiry frame stuff happening, and have them in my cosplay collection for the day that I am Bayonetta. It's happening. Eventually.
Excellent. I guarantee you'll be a better Bayonetta than I will.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. We should have competing Bayonetta costumes.
I was going to say, we definitely, I'll be judge. I love Bayonetta. life goal. Come on. I want to fight the god one day. But yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah, you need to do a competing cosplay. I'll be the judge.
I'm not doing this. That's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. No.
Well, that's fine. I'm the dead mother in this gunfight as well. You can have hugs and a latte. Baked goods.
Winner doesn't get murdered horribly. Cool. Glad we got the stakes.
Yes.
No, murdered horribly. No, no. It's a safe space. This is the safe space.
Is a horrible murder a pizza murder, or is that not a horrible murder?
It depends what your take is on having pineapple on the pizza.
And how burnt the pizza is.
It might be a stuffed crust. It's stuffed with death.
That would definitely not take anyone's head off. A stuffed crust pizza? Not happening.
Yeah,
you have to eat, like, no, ultimate thin crust.
Crushing, like, into the, you can't do stuffed crust.
No, I'll get one of the old style double decadence that Domino's used to do, which was two bases with cheese in the middle, and you not only get melted cheese burning you, you get the twin discs of dough coming at you.
Now you're in the territory of bludgeoning someone to death and knocking them over the head with this thing. This isn't very useful as a cutting implement.
This isn't the first
time. It'd be like trying to slice bread with a sledgehammer.
Try this. Michelle.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I honestly, so I'm not great. That violent in real life.
Sure.
He says that. Man, I'm crying. Oh, this conversation is the best. Should we ask more questions, or can we just keep talking about pizza murders and Comic Cons?
Bayonetta and cosplay.
You know, I'm kind of amazed that Bayonetta doesn't have a food-based weapon in any of the games. Because there's so much shit in there, I would have thought at some point the designers just would just go like, fuck it, why not?
But you don't want hair in your food. And a lot of...
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
I would say more like, you know, the hair chopsticks that you get where you can tie your hair up.
Mm-hmm.
She would pull out like stiletto-style chopstick blades.
Yes. I can see that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Now we have that cleared up. Right, I'm going to ask a proper question.
Go on, then.
Okay, so it's linked to your secret identity, Clark Kent. What was the funniest or strangest guess to your identity you've ever heard? Potentially making you snort laugh.
I'm not super famous. Not now, and definitely not when I first started this whole secret identity thing. So it's not like I had, like, you know, pages and pages of forums of people speculating over who this was, but there were a few guesses, and the one that I thought was really weird was someone on Twitter. I actually looked for it, I couldn't find it again, but someone on Twitter back when the book first came out thought I was Seanan McGuire.
Oh.
And I was just like, so let me get this straight. You think this super successful, super prolific fantasy author, Seanan McGuire, has the inclination or the time to write this weird, sweary, urban fantasy thing in Los Angeles? What? No, get out of here, man. Get out of here.
I could maybe see it, though. Some of her stuff is... I mean, it would be a stretch.
Yeah.
This feels like it would be a reply of someone saying, oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, I was like, I wouldn't mind being Seanan McGuire. She's extremely successful and she's a great author, but...
Yeah,
I'm not Seanan McGuire. I'm not really as pretty.
Oh, you will when you look like Bayonetta.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing what 6 foot hair can do to a person.
Oh my god.
You're speaking from experience with that Yondu mohawk you're planning to do.
Hey, I used to have a mohawk. I was 3 months old, but I used to have one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, a mohawk at 3 months. Picture it didn't happen.
Yep, go ahead.
I also used to have hair that went mid-thigh. Used to.
Yeah?
Not anymore, obviously. Yeah, got all that. That chopped off when I was 12.
I've gone through various hair phases. Done some hot pink pixie cuts, multiple... like crazy colors, but I'm growing it out now.
So you won't need a wig.
Definitely won't need a wig.
It's hard to wear wigs though with this much hair, and I have to wear wigs at least once every couple of months with all the cosplay.
That's true. Has to happen.
What is our next question that we need to ask that is semi-important? Is there a book that changed your life or one that you would recommend? It could be yours or someone else's. Or Seanan McGuire's.
Yeah. I'm not going to pick one of Seanan McGuire's. the book that, I want to pick a book that recently changed my life. Like in school, it's always cool to say, you know, like pick something that was in your childhood, but I'd rather pick something that hit me hard recently because I feel like it's still relevant. And that would be Illuminae by J. Kristoff and Amy Kaufman. I don't know if you guys have read it. They call it an I always get this word wrong. Epistolary. Thank you. Yes. It's letters and documents and reports and stuff like that packed into a book telling the story.
Is it?
And I hadn't read anything like that.
And those we love those kind of books, or I do.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so you guys have read Illuminae. I mean,
I haven't read Illuminae.
Who am I kidding? Who am I talking to?
No, I haven't. Okay, well, I haven't read that one. The only J. Kristoff I've read is Nevernight.
Read Illuminae.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Because like when I read it, I was on holiday with my family in Zimbabwe. And I don't think I spoke to any of them for the entire trip because I was just sucked into this book. And when it
that is recommendation indeed.
Like when I finished the last page, I literally just did that thing where you just stare into space with your mind completely white. Like I couldn't believe what I just read. It was that good. It's just a staggering technical achievement and just a brilliant story. And I recommend it to just about everybody. I mean, it has a terrible title, Illuminae. No one can spell the damn thing, but oh my God, this book is good. Oh, so good. You got me started now.
Go for it. We absolutely love just hearing everybody's recommendations. Mm-hmm. If it was just somebody coming on and talking to us about the books that they love, that's fine. Yeah. That's why we started a book club.
Yeah. You should read Dawn Kurtigich's books. She writes horror, but all of her books have some sort of file or document or letter or something thrown in. So you should read those. They're also just
cool. What is the name again?
Dawn Kurtigich.
Dawn Kurtigich. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Cheers.
She's excellent. Yeah. The audiobooks as well.
The audiobooks are fantastic. Yeah. I actually felt fear listening to one of them. And that doesn't really happen to me, but I actually like got startled and like dropped a dish. And yeah. So
audiobook jump scares. Wow.
Yeah. 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 We're big fans of audiobooks too. But yeah, you should definitely check out her stuff. She has 3 books out right now. So you should read them.
I put them on my list so I remember. I'm a nerd. I have a long, long list of like books I want to get.
Yeah, I was
it's
not.
Fine. I've literally just been in our Goodreads and I've just put on Illuminae.
That's what I was doing just a second ago when I like wasn't paying attention. Like, oh, Goodreads. Okay, pull this one up. Add it to my list.
I'm on 2 Goodreads. I'm on The Fictional Hangover and my own right now. That's how it gets. I never talk to a guest without having Goodreads open, so I can quickly put the titles in.
Yeah, we have to. We have to.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Did you read? Have you read Nevernight?
Oh my God, I love Nevernight.
Yeah.
I listened to your guys' episode that you did on what's the last book called? Dark Dawn. Is that it?
Yeah.
I thought Dark Dawn was one of the ballsiest, most insane books I've ever read.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Nevernight fan, and I'm not a big fantasy guy, but Nevernight just blew me away.
Yeah. That was the last episode that I did with my first co-host. So, what's our next question?
Okay, in every episode, we like to pluck a life lesson from a book. So, what is your life lesson from The Girl Who Can Move Shit With Her Mind? Or is there a life lesson from the entire process, you know, having to go through that secret identity, you know, seeing, you know, from a known author to a hidden author, you know, what is that something from the entire process that is your life lesson?
That's a tough question. I think it's an awesome
I ask the hard questions.
Yeah. I mean, especially for me, I spend so long with these books and, you know, reading and rereading them over and over again and editing and rewriting and, you know, getting deep into the nitty gritty technical stuff that often, like, I'm aware of the themes and I'm trying to express them, but when it's done, I don't really have them in my brain anymore. But if I had to like pick one from this whole process and maybe dovetail it with the book a bit, I think the lesson out of this one is don't take things too seriously. you know, one of the things Tegan taught me very quickly is you can go through a lot of shit in your life. You can go through some dark, dark times, but you can always find your way back. She has, you know, she's been through hell. This character has been through hell, but she's in the situation and she's making the best of it. And she's determined to have a good time. She's not going to let her dark past get in the way of anything. She's like, this shit happened. I came to terms with it. Let's move on. Let's go. What are we doing next? And I didn't know that. I didn't know she was going to be like that when I started writing the book. I never do with my characters. I don't know where they're going to take me. And at the end of the process, I was really happy with kind of how she communicated that, just by kind of taking a deep breath and getting on with things. So if I had to pull a life lesson, it would be that. Just like, everybody goes through shit, but it doesn't have to define you. It doesn't have to define the rest of your life. I don't know if that necessarily relates back to the secret identity thing, but definitely from the book, that's the lesson I would pull out.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. Did the marketing, like, between, you know, being Rob Bufford and then being Jackson Ford, was the marketing so different that there's anything, like, going forward now that you are both, and, you know, everybody knows that you are both, is there anything that, you know, you feel like, actually, this is what I've learned from being hidden. Now everybody knows I'm Jackson Ford. This is what I'm going to do differently. This is how I'm going to make it, like, you know, a little different, you know, because everybody knows who Jackson Ford is now. And, you know, you said it's worked out more successful that way. So is there anything you've learned from that process? So now you can brag about and say, I am Jackson Ford. Read my books. They are the shit.
You know what was interesting? When I was under my own name, you know, obviously I'm engaging on social media with everybody and hunting down people who have mentioned my book and trying to do all the things that people tell you to do. And I wasn't very successful at it. I'm just not that good at social media. Having to take a step back with Jackson Ford and essentially for a best part of a year, not engage with what's happening on social media, literally just not be a part of it. I can see it and I can read it, but I wasn't allowed to actually engage. I felt like the audience developed a lot more organically with Jackson Ford than it did with my Rob Bufford stuff. Because I could, you know, I could sit back as Jackson Ford, and because I'm not engaging, because I'm not trying to pursue this, I have more time to observe and see, all right, these are the kind of people who are reading my books. These are the conversations that people are having. I am not trying to direct these conversations or get involved. I'm just observing. And it just led me to trust the process a little bit more, to trust my publisher when they say, all right, we're going to do it this way. And to trust readers, really. Trust the people who are talking about my books and let them talk about it in whichever way they choose, good or bad. And so I feel like I'm a lot more comfortable with the audience for the Jackson Ford books than I ever was with the audience for the Rob Bufford books, because I feel like I've lived with this audience now for a year without trying to change them or direct them or get involved with them, just seeing them and observing what they think. I don't know if that's a lesson you can apply to all authors. I mean, obviously I've walked a fucking weird path as an author. It's been strange. But yeah, it's been a bit of an education to just see how this stuff has developed organically.
Yeah. Do you have an origin story? We love an origin story.
Mm-hmm,
and
we
have
do.
Heard some interesting origin stories, particularly from audiobook narrators. So how did you get into, I'm just going to go off script, how did you get into writing? So what is your origin story?
I don't have a very exciting origin story about how I got into writing. It was, I wrote a, you know, I was a, like 6 or 7 years old in school, and we got an assignment to write a poem, and I wrote one about an elephant, and my teacher loved it, and my parents loved it, and my teacher said, your reading level is a year above where you're supposed to be. And I kind of went, oh, I guess I'm a writer now. I was like, well, this is obviously something that I am relatively good at, and it's something I enjoy, so let's do this. So it's not a super exciting origin story, but it's just something I kept doing. Although, like, when I graduated from high school, I didn't write any fiction for 10 or 12 years because I was like, all right, now I want to have a career about writing. I guess I'm going to be a journalist now because that's what you do. And then I was a journalist for a long time, and I discovered that I enjoyed making things up a lot more than I enjoyed not making them up. So I kind of gravitated in that direction again. And I came back to fiction writing, and I was like, all right, this is what I want to do.
What would Tegan say is your origin story?
What would Tegan say is my origin story?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. Tegan, you know what Tegan would do? She would say, "Give me the fucking elephant poem. I'll be the judge of this. Give me the damn elephant poem." So go up, dig it up, go into your mom's, like, the record, the file she kept of all your stuff from junior school, because I know your mom's got that. Give me the fucking elephant poem. Let me read this. Okay, she's reading it. Okay, this is bullshit. You were lied to. She just wouldn't stand for that. She'd be like, no. Listen, you're not a special snowflake. You're just a dude who wrote a fucking elephant poem.
I really want to read this elephant poem.
Me too. You need to find it.
All right, guys, somewhere just my mom's.
We'll take it for you. We'll take it for you.
Is there any question that you hope someone will ask you, but they never do?
I don't think so. I don't think my mind really works that way. If I'm interviewing someone, there's always questions that I want to ask them that I don't get around to. But if it's talking about me, I find it quite hard. So, nah, not really. I know that's not a very satisfying answer, but fine. I like the questions that you've asked so far. They've been fun.
Good.
Especially the taco one. I think we got some good mileage out of that one.
Yeah, good question. It was a really good question.
Yeah.
Oh, dear me. It's been a lot of food talk.
Yeah.
I've had my dinner. I don't know why.
No, I need to eat something eventually. Well, is there anything that you can tell us about upcoming stuff? Can you give us any secret spoilers for book two? Are you excited about anything? Anything else in the works? Tell us great things.
I'm kind of superstitious. If something's not ready yet, I won't talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's just the weird superstition. I can say there's a lot of cool stuff happening around Tegan Frost and around her story that is going to be revealed very, very soon, within the next week or two, which I'm really excited about. What I can talk about right now is the second book in the Frostbile series, which is coming out in July, which is called Random Ship Flying Through the Air, and which I will say it's got a much bigger scope than the first one. The first one was very tight. It was very focused. It happened, you know, it just involved the team, the China Shop team. The second one goes a little bit bigger and the stakes are a lot higher this time. It's also got what I think is the scariest villain I've ever written. Someone who scares the shit out of me, even reading him back. Ooh. I'm really proud of him.
Awesome. I'm excited for that.
Cannot wait for you guys to meet him. I actually don't mind telling you about this because it's done and you meet him in the first chapter. He is a four-year-old sociopath with the ability to control earth, so to control soil and dirt and rocks and stuff.
Super intelligent
sociopath, super creepy kid. And yeah, he causes a lot of problems and Jesus, he scares the hell out of me. So I cannot wait for you guys to meet him.
Excellent.
And then I'm just wrapping up the third book in the series, which is coming out in 2021, which is called Eye of the Shitstorm. That I don't really want to talk about the plot too much because I'm still in the rewrite phase, but
yeah,
it's going to be banging.
Awesome.
All these books are fucking banging. If anyone's listening, you should read them. They're awesome.
Yeah, we agree.
Yes.
We agree 100%.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, Claire, it's your favorite thing.
Ages and ages and ages. And I'm like, we need to read this book. We need to read this book. Ever since it was published, I finally got around to read it. I'm so happy.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys did.
Yeah, yeah. And Claire, are you super excited? Your favorite thing is happening? Terrifying children?
Oh,
that's your favorite thing?
Kids. Well, it's creepy-ass kids or things in walls. Oh, giant birds. Can't stand giant birds either. Those three things just freak me out. Like, probably freak me out.
I missed the second thing. The line broke up. So is giant birds, creepy kids there?
Oh, things in walls.
Things in wall. What about a giant, creepy bird baby in the wall? There's a bird in your walls, Claire.
It's a baby, though. A giant
it's
baby.
A horrible baby naked bird in your walls.
I'm going to look at
weird,
pizza cutter.
Creepy limbs.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Oh, yes. Oh, man.
I'm going to go and get my pizza cutter. It ain't getting all out of the art. It's going to get, like, full on double espresso, pepperoni,
oh my god.
Oh yuck.
Oh man. Yuck. I think we've probably taken up enough of your time today. Thanks.
Yeah, I actually gotta go do some real work. This has been great. This hasn't been work at all. This has been a blast.
Awesome. Well, good.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate the love. Your podcast is fucking awesome. And thank you for chatting to me.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
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 All right. That's it for this awesome bonus episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm a very happy Claire.
Join us.
Not murderous at all.
That's questionable. Join us next time as we discuss Strange Practice by Vivian Shaw. Contact us if you'd like to join us for an upcoming Would You Rather segment or if you have any books to recommend. Also, be sure to look out for our next Would You Rather poll on social media, and don't forget about our book club and monthly challenges on Goodreads. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangover.er. And now on Goodreads at www.goodreads.com/fictionalhangover. And finally, a special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and on Patreon. Thanks for listening.